talking about chicken a la king,
mango and garbanzo tabbouleh,
grilled potatoes and vegetables with roasted garlic and basil,
zucchini ziti,
granola fruit bar.
Look at all this beautiful food.
Hi everyone, as you can hear, we are on the streets of New York City. This is Dan Adute. This is Green Eggs and Dan. And today we have an amazing guest on the podcast, acclaimed chef of multiple restaurants in New York City, Estella, Flora Bar, Ultra Paradiso. His restaurants are always on the Eater 38 Essential List and the Heat Map. His restaurant Estella has been named one of the top 50 restaurants in the world on the San Pellegrino List. Please welcome my good friend and one of my favorite chefs, Ignacio Matos.
Hi, Dan. What's going on? How you been?
I came in hot there, I know.
I know. It's good. Good morning.
It was a little jarring.
Good morning.
We're actually recording today from Estella. We're in the restaurant Estella. This is one of my favorite restaurants in New York City. Now, when you opened this place, how confident were you that it was going to be the hit that it became?
How confident? It's weird to say. I think you go confident, but you never know. It's like you roll, you know, you're just rolling the dice.
Yeah.
Every time. And I think I believe that, you know, we can make it work. However, you know, it's so many variables, you know,
yeah.
So many different things. And I think it was the right idea, the right concept at the right time. And yeah, that's what you call luck or whatever you call it. I think it's a lot of people doing great stuff and a lot of times don't necessarily go well. We got a little lucky.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I mean, it seemed like it was doing really well. And then there was that night that the Obamas came and then it like exploded.
Yeah, it helps for sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, I know. It was doing pretty well, but you always need to keep up the momentum and like keep it relevant and going. So it was, yeah.
What, by the way,
a trip.
When they came in, did the Secret Service come in first and like pat you down and see if there was any weapons in your butt, in your butthole?
That weapon. yeah, they come and they do this thing.
They
I don't know.
It.
We have no idea. It's a small place, so it was interesting. I mean, funny, it's like Gabe, the co-writer of the book, he was moving to Denmark to work with René Redzepi, and he wanted to have his last meal here. So he was going from here to the airport. He was having dinner with his family, but he was having dinner on what we call now the presidential table.
Oh, really?
Presidential room.
Uh-huh.
If you want to take a shot later of the presidential room.
Of course.
That the space back there with a skylight that we put after. they were having dinner there, and I'm like, hey man, like, it's the president of the United States coming and we need your table. And he's like, yeah, right. I'm like, dude, like, I'm not kidding. Like, we need your table. You mind moving? It's like, come on, are you kidding me? I was like, and everybody was going to tell him. It's like, it's not funny. Why you wanna move me? It's like, because the president of the United States is coming. It's like, yeah, right, fuck you. I'm like, and all of a sudden he sees the Secret Services and he's like freaking out, he's in tears.
No.
It's like, yeah, of course you can have the table. it's hard to explain. It was kind of crazy in a small, tiny little
room. But they're repeat customers too. That's the best part.
Well, yeah, Michelle,
she went to Ultra.
Ultra,
right?
Yeah, she's like, they're amazing. Like, they're truly amazing people.
So I'm sure you're all wondering, chef who cooks for royalty, for presidents, for heads of state, what does his fridge look like? Well, if you go on my Instagram, StandupDan. At Stand Up Dan, you can see Ignacio's fridge.
That's what you did?
It's the saddest fridge you've ever seen. I think it's the saddest fridge we've had on the show by far.
It's clean.
And we've had like homeless comedians on this show who have better fridges than you. This looks like a college kid.
Essentials.
Who ran out of money.
Essentials.
And like robbed an old lady who was like leaving a Whole Foods and just got a hold of half a bag.
I had to defend myself.
For those of you, hold on.
Support the homeless looking fridge. There is. I hate wasting. Like,
dude.
How much? You really eat everything you have in your fridge.
I hate wasting. Okay, for those of you who can't see on the Instagram, we've got one orange, one apple, hummus from Whole Foods. We've got two.
That's like a bad thing?
No, actually, I love hummus from
Whole Foods. Where you get your hummus from? Do you fly from Israel or like?
Yeah, I fly in from Haifa every night. Actually, I will tell you this. I have a bone to pick with Trader Joe's hummus. It's the worst hummus I think you can buy. I buy most of my shit from Trader Joe's, and then I go to Whole Foods for the hummus, and I go home. So I'm on your side. Right. But it's just the fact that you only have hummus, and then what is this, Calabrian chili peppers?
You only asked me for the fridge. What about, like, on my dry storage? I might have, like,
No. I don't care about your dry storage. We have two avocados, and what's this on the top here?
That's butter. Unsalted.
Butter, unsalted? What do you put the butter on?
On crackers. Gluten-free crackers, because now I'm on.
Like, are you gluten-free?
I'm.
What is happening?
I have
to
a
you,
thing.
Ignacio?
My son. I saw my son at the beginning of the year, and the first thing, he's been surfing, and like his surf teacher has been a really bad influence. Of course, he has a six pack, and he's very proud, the surfer.
Yeah.
And like, my son came over, and I was like, well, I'm naked, and he's like, you don't have a six pack, huh? And I'm like, huh? It's like, yeah, you don't have a six pack? I'm like, do you have a six pack? And he's like, yeah, look. I'm like, that's kind of like a booty in there. And then I kind of explained it at 12. That was the last time I saw a six pack on my body. And yeah. Since then, I was like, okay, I'm going to give you a six pack. So his birthday was coming up, and I kind of started focusing on trying to get a six pack for his birthday. He was really upset that I was
getting a six pack
for myself for his birthday, so he could be proud of his dad.
Oh my god! Yo,
He got no present for making fun of me.
You started out making fun of LA, saying LA is vain and this and that.
I didn't say LA is vain.
Your birthday present to your son is getting a six pack on yourself.
I say LA, it has the same weather the entire time, and it's a little bit confusing for myself.
Yes, for sure.
But I love the vanity of LA.
Apparently. Did you get a six pack?
I'm working on it.
And how are you?
It's like a lot harder than that.
That's why there's no fucking food in your fridge.
Like, listen, say six pack to me is like, it's challenging. Like, getting a six pack is like, that's what the challenge is.
It's impossible. How old are you?
Me?
Oh, you don't want to talk about it?
I'm 36.
You're fucking vain,
man. I'm 39.
Yeah, we're about the same age. It's impossible for us to get a six pack at this age. It's too late. Unless like we became like prisoner of war, like in a camp, and we're starved.
Have you seen my fridge?
Also, I think this is what the fridges in Auschwitz probably looked like.
And I'm good at starving myself. I never measured anything in my life, like whether I could eat or not, like drink or not. I have eaten everything with no restriction. But now I'm fine with starving myself from time to time. It's also exhausting. Like you're doing it for a living and you're eating and drinking all the time. So I'm just, giving it a little bit of a break. Of course, when the opportunity comes, I have amazing bread, I eat it. Pizza, I do eat it. But when I try to avoid it.
You only eat amazing things when they come by.
Only amazing things or really...
I think that's kind of my philosophy
random
on food.
Crappy things.
Have you had the Madeleine at Balthazar? I had it for breakfast this morning.
I might have. I don't know. I might.
It's one of my favorite things.
I would not walk there just for the Madeleine.
You wouldn't walk a block and a half for the Madeleine? Look at this thing. I have a picture of the Madeleine. I'll post
If you brought some of those, I would eat it. I would eat it right now, but you didn't get any of them.
You're right. Actually, I should have brought Madeleines for everyone. What an asshole. I was like, look at this amazing
thing. That's
what
nice people
do. Look at this amazing thing.
I'm on your group. I'm just saying. I sympathize. I'm supporting you. I would have done the same, but nice people bring Madeleine for everyone.
You're absolutely right.
You saw me. I brought water for everyone.
But I knew that you're trying to get a six-pack for your son's birthday.
For myself.
for yourself for your son's birthday.
Yep.
So I wanted to help you. And Madeline is not going to help with that mission.
So what are we going to do now?
We're just going to fucking drink more water that you gave to me. Do you go out to eat at all? Are you a big restaurant guy?
Yeah, of course. But now less and less. I ended up eating at my own restaurants more because it's just like time is more restricted. And I enjoy them. So I'm eating on those. But yeah, I love eating at restaurants. I always love discovering new spots or just supporting the ones, you know, that I love.
I'll tell you this though. So going back to your fridge didn't surprise me at all because, like, as a comedian, the last thing I want to do when I'm home is be funny. I don't like to go to comedy clubs. I don't like to see other comedians if I'm not on a show. I'm not into it. So I could imagine going to a restaurant sometimes can get annoying because it's kind of hard to be there and not judge everything and look at everything and say, oh, this is wrong, this is right. Like, what are your, like, is that, am I off or what?
Yeah, I can shut it off.
You can?
I've been training myself for the same thing, but it's challenging. Like, at your own place, it's kind of tricky because I can see absolutely everything I don't want to see.
Yeah. Like the crumbs on the table.
I don't know what you're talking about, Dan, but however,
like, guys, full disclosure,
Dan, we're done with the show. yeah, like that, like every single tiny little detail. Yes, I obsess over it. Then it's unfortunate I can see things that I wish I didn't get to see.
Yeah,
but I do. So I've been training myself to figure it out how to relax and enjoy certain things. Going into other people's restaurant, I'm trying to enjoy the experience, whether they're doing something right or wrong. I'm just, if I can give it feedback, I will happily do it. Like, if they're friends and I know I can provide perspective, I would do it. But
you'd be honest with someone. You'd say
I'm pretty raw.
I'm
learning how to improve my deliverable. Because it's your, you know, it's like people are, I don't know, they do this because they care, you know what I mean? And like, you always, I sympathize with that, you know what I mean? Like, it's very tricky to be in this position. You're trying to take care of absolutely everyone and trying to make sure they're having a good time. And it's just not like the guests, but like the staff, and like, it's all these people, this flux of people that, you know, like, you can even filter. You're not necessarily inviting to your dinner party that you know that is gonna work. You never know.
So, you know, a lot of people read about restaurant industry and how it's crazy in the kitchen and everyone's nuts and throwing shit. Doesn't seem like that's your style. It seems like it's a little more of a controlled chaos back there.
Yeah, but no, it depends, you know? It's like, I like think orchestrated, but that doesn't mean that, you know, I don't know. It's like, it's weird. Like, kitchens have changed a lot throughout the time, and you change and you grow up and, you know, you learn and you get more mature and, you know, you start getting things into perspective and, like, learn how to express yourself, you know? Like, it's complicated when you do something that is so yours.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and you're so dependable of so many other people.
Yeah.
To execute it, you know? I think that's the most challenging thing on,
well, like, also because you don't want to micromanage everyone, right?
No, but you kind of have to at times.
You have
three
restaurants, though.
I know, but it's, you know, no, you cannot micromanage, but we have meetings, we have dialogue, we have conversations, we communicate, you know, we try to do it as much as we can, like, trying to work on, like, how to make it more efficient and empower more people to be able to make their own decisions and make the best decisions they can, but also have a team and a team that supports each other, you know what I mean? So, like, people that know on their own, you know, like, everybody, it it's a team.
Yeah.
You know, like, and for sometimes I, you know, like you just, yeah, I, it's funny, you know, like passion. I have never worked in my life. You know, I would, I've done what I love to do.
Yeah.
And it's kind of, you know, like growing up, you start realizing it, like, shit, like what I'm doing, you know, right. Like I just, at times I just forget that I've been spending my entire day just doing the thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I love doing all the things.
Yeah.
But it's a, you know, a curse and a bliss.
Yeah. So you've been called one of the top 5 dreamiest chefs in New York City.
Oh, what?
Yeah, by Dana Dute. And I'm curious.
Okay.
I'm curious. With that title, there must be a lot of pressure. Also, blessing and a curse. Have you had any moments where, like, a patron will be like, I need to meet the dreamy chef? That sexy, homeless-looking, but, like, sexy homeless-looking chef? Like the best kind of homeless?
Oh, no, I guess it happens.
I want him to take me home and give me some Whole Foods hummus on a cracker.
That's really intimate. Like, sharing my hummus is like, it's like very, I have done it, but yeah, I don't know if I would be that open, like, so quick. I don't know. I'm reserved. But
you are very reserved.
It happens.
You're very reserved for the amount of dreaminess that you have. You're kind of like a waste of good looks. You know what I mean?
Really?
Yeah, you don't need to be this good looking. Because you don't, like, you don't take advantage of it, I don't think, as much as you should.
No, I clearly don't.
We'll get back to Ignacio in a second, but first, let's go back into his fridge. One of the few things in Ignacio's sad, sad fridge is a little jar of Calabrian chilies from Calabria, Italy. These are the most popular peppers in all of Italy. However, spoiler alert, they're not Italian. They're from the New World, and Columbus brought them back with him after his epic voyage. The king and queen must have loved that. What did you bring us back, Christopher? Gold? Silver? Nah, I brought you these little peppers, eh? Throw them on your pizzas. Thanks for paying for my trip. Go fuck yourself. Okay, back to Ignacio. Let's get to our rapid-fire questions. What is your earliest food memory?
My earliest food memory? We passed out with my grandmother.
Yeah, pasta with grandma?
She would do this tagliolini with its like Sunday roast, they call it here, right? Like a
meat Sunday sauce. Yeah.
Yeah, and they have this that smell for me is still stick to the point that I would try to do that sauce and like I still don't do it as good because I don't wanna kill that memory. It makes sense, right? Because I know I could do it better.
Yeah, yeah.
But I
you want to keep that
reshect? I want to keep that memory as that thing is the best thing.
That's very romantic, Ignacio.
I know. You were surprised. You're surprised.
I want some crackers and hummus now, bro. I want some crackers and hummus. Now you're from Uruguay. Is your grandmother, is there an Italian influence in Uruguay in the cuisine?
Yeah, it's nothing Uruguayan there. It's like, it's either you're Spanish, Italian, or...
Was it an Italian colony or Portuguese?
It was a mix, Spanish, Portuguese, British. They were there for a second. Very unfortunate they didn't took us.
They brought the food culture down.
Yeah. Who else? No, those. But yeah. But then it's like people from different places. But it, like the majority is Spanish and Italians.
Got it.
So like the food culture is for the most part.
Got
Italian
it.
And Spanish.
It seems exciting. You were one of the last Bourdain episodes in Uruguay.
True. That's true.
And that was an eye-opening experience for a lot of people because a lot of people didn't know about your... I think a lot of people think, yo, if I'm going to fly that far, I'm going to go to Brazil. But you're saying, no, fly a little further and a little treasure awaits.
It's very different, you know? Like, I love Brazil, but, like, you go to Brazil to find one thing. That's it, the other thing, you know? Like, people have this idea that South America is this one single thing, and South America is it's pretty vast, and, you know, where it's a lot of speaking Spanish countries there. Like, you know, it's fascinating that Brazil is the only one speaking Portuguese.
Yeah.
Brazil is enormous. Like, the culture changes a lot. And the same thing with South America. You know, each country has its own culture. And yeah. Uruguay is, like, one of the few, not to be proud of, but, you know, it's just like a big disappointment. It's no natives.
Yeah.
You know? It's no indigenous people to it. Where pretty much in the rest of you will find very... unfortunately very small communities.
Wow.
But
so is that the is this your selling point for Uruguay? Is, should this be the rid of all of our natives.
but I think it, you have to make it I think it's important to make it clear because people think that it's this exotic thing. It's not really that exotic.
Yeah.
What I mean?
Yeah.
But it has a lot of character, surprisingly.
Well, you mix those three cultures together, something's gonna happen.
And it happened.
And it happened. What is your death row meal? Last meal?
I would get it's sushi for sure.
Yeah,
sushi. But I want a massage before.
Sushi and a massage.
And a sauna. And then I'm like, I go.
I want to go to this
prison. I go any day.
I want to go
any day after a massage. Sushi, like, you can take me.
I want to go to this prison that serves sushi and has massages.
Is there a specific sushi?
But hold on, is prison or is like death row?
Death row, like, you know, you're going to get in the electric chair.
Ah, but that but one, next I want to prison. I want to go straight.
You just want to jump off a cliff?
Yeah, whatever. Or like you.
We can talk about that too. How would you like to be killed if you were going to die? After the sushi, after the massage.
It's wrong.
Just drink yourself to oblivion. Yeah. What, any specific sushi meal? Specific restaurant? Specific experience?
Yeah, it would be, oh, no. Yeah, of course you can get piggy, but Saito?
Saito?
Saito in Tokyo?
Oh, Saito. Is it Saito in Ginza?
I think it's, it is Ginza.
Wait, is that the one that's like on the fourth floor of a building?
Oh, no, you're getting all weird now.
No, I think it is. I was there.
You walked in?
I walked in and they closed the door on me and told me to leave. Does that sound like the place?
It sounds like they would do that in any place in Tokyo. Any
I did have my place, my pants weren't on as well. I was naked. So maybe that was it.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, that's how I roll in Tokyo.
What are you doing in Tokyo?
That's how I roll in Tokyo, bro. Oh, what happens in Tokyo?
Yeah. Yeah, sushi. Sushi. I don't know. Yeah, sushi. It would be sushi.
Yeah,
for sure.
That makes sense. I'm with you on that. Next question. What is your best high-end meal that you've ever had? Like, best tasting menu experience?
I think it was Martin Berasategui in the Basque Country.
Who? Which one?
Martin Berasategui. It's in the Basque Country.
Oh, yeah. It's in, what's it called? San Sebastian?
Nearby. La Sarte Oria is the name of the town. But yeah, it's like... It was very special, and I didn't want it to be special, but...
Three-star Michelin?
Mind. Yeah, yeah.
Are you usually into three-star Michelin, or you think it's overkill?
I am into anything that is good, and it has character, you know? If it's good, how you can question good? You know what I mean? Like, whether you like it or not, good is good.
Yeah,
like,
but sometimes I think they go too far with trying to be impressive and they miss the mark. The last three-star meal I had was at Mugaritz, which is right outside there. You don't have to comment on it because they're probably your friends and this and that, but I was like, this is the last time I'm doing a three-star meal because it was like, I felt like it was such overkill.
Yeah, it's a lot. I do it less and less. I haven't done it in a while, actually. Yeah. So, but you asked me.
The food at Estela to me is...
That meal was in 2008, so
yeah.
That answered your question.
Right.
When was my last three-star meal?
Now, and what would be your best low-end meal?
Low-end meal?
Like, what just hits the spot?
I mean, that hummus doesn't count, right?
That hummus does count.
That's count? No, I would say I love a good falafel.
Oh, yeah?
But I don't know. Is that low?
Yeah. Hell yeah.
A hot dog.
That's my people low.
A hot dog, yeah.
A specific hot dog or just like a dirty dog, New York City?
I like a dirty dog. I think it's like it's something very comforting. But also, I had these friends in Brooklyn that they made this hot dog at the Frank's, and they do this. It's insane.
What is it?
Hot dog. It's just fucked up.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm intrigued.
That's what Frank's? You should do after. The Frankie's?
Frankie's.
Yeah.
Oh, Frankie's, like Frankie Sputino, those guys?
No. It's Frankie Sputino, yeah. Frankie Sputino.
Yeah. Interesting. I didn't know they do a hot dog. All right.
Well, they used to make it a prime eats, and now they change it and they're doing a wine bar. But I don't know if they're serving on other hot dogs.
Right.
The last time I was there, I asked for hot dogs and they were hot dogs. Yeah, I have a very soft spot for those, but I really deserve it with mustard, but they're perfect just with a Martin's potato bun and the sausage, and that's it.
I like the idea of you just walking into restaurants and be like, no, bro, I'm getting a fucking hot dog. I don't care. Oh, this is a vegan. I don't care.
I went there a couple times. It's a funny, and this is a true story. So, like, I was dating this person, I was like, we're talking about hot dogs, and I was like, let's go to this place. We go, they don't serve the hot dogs at lunch or whatever, and I'm like, not, you know, I don't want to drop names or whatever, and I take my friends, they weren't there, it's the same place. So I'm like, okay, I work out without my hot dog, but I made it all the way there, come back again, it's no hot dog, we don't serve it at dinner this time. So I don't know what they were doing at the moment. And then I went back. But this time I went with a date. And I'm sad. And the service is like, no, we don't serve it at brunch. I was like, okay, where are my friends? I'm like, I dropped the name.
You're like, do you know who the fuck I am?
No, I just dropped my friend's name. And the guy is like, oh, yeah, like kind of like whatever. And I, you know, try to be very easygoing, but I'm like, I need this hot dog. And the guy is like, well, would you like me to take the order? Like, you're going to get drinks right now. Just bring the beer. I'm not going to get any food until I get the hot dog. And he's like, and I'm texting my friends, and like, they're not getting back, and they're usually pretty quick, the two of them, and they were traveling or whatever, and nothing is going on, and the guy come back. So you're going to get a little tense, you know, the situation. My day was like, what are you doing? You really need this hot dog? I was like, yeah. Like, we need to have this hot dog. But I was like, it was my third time there. And they're good friends.
Yeah.
And so an hour goes by, and the guy is like,
wow, so this you is a real standoff. An hour went by.
And the guy is like, she want to order? And all of a sudden, it's like their director of operation, Chris, the manager. And I'm like, Chris. And he look at me and is like, hey, man. I'm like, Chris, I'm having a little issue. By any chance, you have hot dogs? Of course. How many you want? And I'm like, I look at the server, and I'm like, I told you.
Oh, man.
I told you I want to get hot dogs. And I'm getting hot dogs. So, yeah, I got 4 hot dogs.
Oh, my God.
Very happy. But it took me an hour of, an hour and a half till I get the hot dogs. But they're amazing. So, I don't know what's going on with the hot dogs, but
I want to check it out while I'm here. Frankie's?
So, yeah, we went from a 3... But that's the thing. I think that hot dog is like 3-star Michelin quality. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
wow. Do not get in the way of Ignacio and his hot dogs.
Oh. No.
Shit's going to go down. Okay, next question. What is your restaurant pet peeve? Like, what is it that happens at a restaurant and you just want to flip the fucking table? Like, for me, it could be, like, the lighting or the chairs or, you know, something like that. Sitting close to the bathroom, anything?
No.
You're easy, huh?
Crappy music. Like, I have something for, like, I don't know, if they're playing, like, One Direction.
Oh, music.
I'll be like, you know what? I need to get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, I'm the same. I get that.
Or, I don't know, it's like, it's all these.
By the way, One Direction bands is one of our sponsors. Thank you, One Direction, for being our sponsor.
Thank you for putting crap music out. I think crappy music, it's something that it really, I cannot
tolerate. It could ruin experience.
Yeah, or like attitude also.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? When you go to a place and people just, it had happened to me, you know what I mean? I look like a homeless person.
Sexy homeless.
And at times it's like, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Attitude. Somebody's just like in a bad mood and like,
dude,
it's your job. You know what I mean? It's like,
I feel the same way.
I'm just trying to grab a bite and give it, pay the bill. You know what I mean?
I feel the same way. And I feel like a lot of my friends are like, oh, she's probably having a really bad day or he probably had it. I'm like, I get it, dude. I have really bad days too. And I have to go on stage and make people fucking laugh. I don't like.
Exactly.
You put on your face and you go to work. We all do it.
Yeah. I mean, for me, that's the thing. You know, for me, it's very clear. I'm serving.
Yeah.
I'm at service. My purpose, what I'm supposed to do is very clear. I take care of people. Whether I need to take care of myself or not, yeah, of course, but I take care of people. I'm trying to make all these people happy. That's my main goal.
Yeah.
And whether I'm having a good day, bad day, it just doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I cannot compromise this person experience that is trusting us and with their time and then paying the bills.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I take it to heart, that whole thing. So, yeah, poor, yeah, just careless.
Careless service, I get it.
Approach. It's really unfortunate, but yeah.
What is your favorite drunk food?
What? French fries.
French fries? Any specific kind of fries? McDonald's?
You know what? Any fry is a good fry. Even like a shitty fry is still.
Yeah.
JG Melon fries are pretty obnoxious. I say so.
Like, which one?
But I'll eat it. JG Melon.
JG Melon.
You know what I mean? To JG Melon?
No.
On the Upper East?
No.
The burger is incredible.
And their fries are obnoxious?
Yeah, you had to skip it. But it's the only fry that annoys me. But yeah, I would say French fries. I can just eat French fries.
I'm so curious what's annoying about the JG Melon fries.
It's just like sloppy, soggy. Like, I think they make a point of making it bad because the burger is pretty amazing.
Ah, it's yin and yang.
Here we go again. We're going to get deep now.
Yeah.
It's about time, Dan. It's like, I'm going to show your deep spiritual holistic self.
I'm going to end this by giving you a massage and then sushi. What is your
So I'm dying right
after. I'm gonna murder you after.
Great.
What is your favorite hangover food?
Oh fuck, actually I was very hungover yesterday. Not that I drink that much, but a friend was visiting and it's a bad influence. And yeah.
What'd you drink?
It doesn't take much. No, he was whatever. We just drank a bunch of different things.
Yeah.
I kind of get into a bath. Like, I didn't have... No, I have, like... It was a banana and there someone in the house, by the way. And, like, bananas helped me quite a bit.
A banana is your favorite hangover food? That's the saddest thing you've said so far on this podcast. Wow. A banana.
Yes.
A fucking banana.
Yes. Yes. I like it. Like...
Not a burger. Not pizza. A fucking people eat bananas before they do like a marathon. Healthy
really?
People do bananas.
It's like it's the Boston Marathon too. So like, so you're saying that they're consuming a lot of bananas today?
Interesting.
Oh no.
So you're like a scientific person because you're like, well, the potassium's gonna help. I don't care about the greasiness. The fucking potassium. Okay. Wow.
Eggs.
No, you can't say eggs now. You said bananas already.
Fine,
it's
whatever.
Too late.
Have you ever had a banana wrapped in bacon and pan fried?
No. Is that a thing?
Well, I'll just give you a tip right there.
All right. There.
Go figure it out.
I think you got embarrassed that I made so much fun of you. They were like, wait, hold on, but it's wrapped in bacon.
Done.
The banana's wrapped in bacon.
Mira.
Did I mention that?
Mira.
Mira, wrapped in bacon.
I'm used to you making fun of me. So.
Okay, who is your favorite celebrity chef?
I think Jacques Pepin.
Jacques Pepin, amazing. I think he's probably my favorite too.
Somebody sent me a video of him the other day, like asked me for
was it
like
the omelet
whatever.
One?
Yep.
Oh, I love the omelet video.
But just like listen to him, like in this dark black room, and just like it's mesmerizing. Like his move, his sound, his voice, like the whisking of the eggs with the fork, you know, at the speed that he's doing
it. You need to whisk it very hard, or you're going to have clumpiness in your egg.
That's my awful Jacques Pepin
impression. Yeah, you did pretty well.
Yes, yeah, the Jacques Pepin egg videos are fucking awesome.
I don't have a worst.
You don't have a least favorite?
A least favorite, no.
You're too nice. And then what is your last question? What is your secret ingredient? Do you have like a secret ingredient that you're like, this, I'm going to use this favorite secret ingredient to add a little pop to anything or to...
Fish sauce. Drop of lemon.
Fish sauce, drop of lemon.
A few drop of lemon juice or lemon zest. I think it's that very underrated.
Actually, yeah. And your the beef tartare here has fish sauce in it, right?
And lemon zest too.
And
lemon juice.
And
pickled elderberries. And it has a little egg yolk and olive oil and onions.
And Jerusalem and artichokes still?
Jerusalem artichokes. Yeah. And
the beef tartare is probably my favorite beef tartare in the city.
In the city.
At Estella. In downtown Manhattan, on Houston, between Mulberry and Mott, it's the best beef tartare you will ever have.
That so you're telling me that you have a better...
That is not on
you have you a better tartare in L.A., that's what you're saying. Whatever.
No, absolutely not. I think it's... Yeah, I've never thought about what's my favorite beef tartare, but it's...
Probably in L.A.
It's probably my...
I like L.A. Don't take me wrong.
J.G. Mellon has a beef tartare. I'm fucking with you.
That burger, it's...
I've never had their burger.
Amazing. I mean, you can eat it raw. I don't know if you want to do that. But that's what you should do. You should go have that burger.
Is there anything that you would like to plug? Stella's got a great Instagram. It's @EstellaNYC.
All of them, yeah.
@EstellaNYC, Florabar, and also Ultra Paradiso. Follow them all. Their food is delicious. There's an off-the-menu cacio pepe at Ultra Paradiso that is my favorite.
What about the fennel salad?
My favorite pasta on the west side of Manhattan in the south.
Mira, you're in big trouble, Mira.
No, it's literally the best cacio pepe I've ever had. The noodles are like nothing you've ever had. Come to New York City and visit any of Ignacio's restaurants. Ignacio, I love you. Great seeing you.
Love you too. Eat bananas.
As always, we will have links to all the restaurants we mentioned on the Instagram @StandUpDan. I love you. This episode of Green Eggs and Dan was produced by Andrew Steven. Executive produced by Jeff Umbro and The Podglomerate. You can find more of their podcasts at thepodglomerate.com. Special thanks to Jordan Aaron and my favorite restaurant in New York City, Estella. To see pictures of Ignacio Matos's fridge, information about the restaurants mentioned in the episode, and more, follow me on Twitter and Instagram @StandUpDan. The theme music is Beautiful Food by Idan and interstitial music by Breakmaster Cylinder. If you like this show, please tell a friend, share an episode, and leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
The Podglomerate, a sonic universe.